And we're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara here with you. Thanks again to Susan Shaw, Mary Beth Kiefer, talking about Crop Hunger Walk Manhattan. In studio with me now is Director of the Biosecurity Research Institute, Dr. Stephen Higgs. Dr. Higgs, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, and it's great to be back, Nick.
Yeah, I understand it might have been a little while, but here you are.
Here I am. I appreciate the invitation.
And I believe this might be the first time I've officially met you, but I remember seeing you there at that event when Secretary Nielsen was in.
That's right. We've had a very busy month. It's a busy year at the BRI. So that was a wonderful privilege having Secretary Nielsen, Deputy Secretary Bill Bryant, and then, of course, Governor Jeff Collier. That was his first visit to the BRI. And Senators Robert and Moran and Congressman Marshall and Yoder, they were all there. They came to see NBAF, National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, but I think they spent almost as much time at the Biosecurity Research Institute. So that was a wonderful opportunity for us.
And I imagine that new NBAF facility is going to be pretty good for you guys in terms of partnership and ability to work together there.
We certainly hope so. We've got great relationships with the Department of Homeland Security, who are building it, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, ARS, and APHIS, who are going to be staffing that. And, I mean, we've been involved with folks from Plum Island. We've been involved in the discussions about NBAF standing up and everything. We've got a Department of Homeland Security fellowship program at the BRI. That was, over $850,000, and then the State of Kansas NBAF Transition Fund contributed to that. So the agreement was that we would train 5 people who would ultimately be employed at NBAF. There's going to be 350 employees there. Well, we're on 11 at the moment, so we've more than doubled the number of people we said we were going to train. And one of them is already based at Plum Island. So you know, we're training people, and they're getting jobs. Then there is another award to K-State, and that is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, APHIS, who I think is like $1.6 million, which is specifically designed to train more scientists who are going to be at NBAF. So we've got our first 5 students doing that. And the wonderful thing about that is that as part of that program, they are guaranteed positions at NBAF. They get fully funded for their master's, their DVM, or their PhDs, and then they get a job at the end of it when they complete. I mean, how cool is that?
That's a great deal.
I wish I'd had that guarantee when I was doing my PhD, I tell you.
I can imagine. Talking here with Director of Biosecurity Research Institute, Dr. Stephen Higgs, and you mentioned that fellowship program with the Department of Homeland Security. How does that really play out, or is that a fellowship with the NBAF? Maybe I'm misremembering what you said.
So what that is Department of Homeland Security, we've had this for a couple of years now, obviously realized that they need to staff NBAF with true experts in, you know, with all the safety, the security training, all of the subject matter expertise in specific diseases that they're going to work with. And so we got that award. Like I say, the state of Kansas also contributed to that in their NBAF transition fund. And so what we do is we provide some classroom training, obviously, but also those students, those fellows, get embedded in research studies, all sorts of different research, which is relevant to NBAF. So they get the understanding and the hands-on training, preparing them to sort of hit the ground running when NBAF opens and they get jobs there.
And that's a great transition into some of the research you have going on there at the Biosecurity Research Institute.
Oh, like I say, it's busy at the moment. So we're working on a whole variety of infectious diseases. To be honest, many of which your listeners will think are odd, but and they are, there are some unusual ones. But these are all foreign animal diseases that have the potential to be introduced into the United States and not just, you know, kill the animals that they infect, but sometimes infect people. And also cause very severe economic consequences to the United States. So one study that's been published recently was a collaboration between K-State researchers and U.S. Department of Agriculture, ARS scientists. That was looking at a virus called Rift Valley fever. It's African. It can cause massive abortion storms and death in livestock. And it has, in Africa, a wildlife reservoir. So it gets transmitted between animals that are domesticated and also wild ones. And then it has a high mortality rate, or can have a high mortality rate in people. And so that particular collaboration between USDA ARS and K-State looked at white-tailed deer. The concern, or the question was, if this were to be introduced into the United States, could it develop a wildlife cycle? And the good news is the research went very well, and in some respects the bad news is that, yes, those deer are highly susceptible and could be infected.
And in those cases, what can really I was going to ask you a little bit about how those diseases transmit here in the first place, but I guess another question that was more immediate, that playing off of what you said, is what can be done when that happens?
So a lot of the research at the Biosecurity Research Institute is looking at diagnostics so that you can detect these diseases. And then also vaccine research, so that if they did come in here, you'd have countermeasures to control them. Surveillance is a key. The earlier you can detect one of these pathogens, the better. And then if it starts to spread, controlling it.
And what are some of the ways, we'll go back to that other one then, are some of the ways that this disease, you know, it's a threat, but how does it end up transmitting to the U.S. from these foreign areas?
Well, the hot topic at the moment that would give me the ability to answer that question is a thing called African swine fever virus. That is a virus that can cause 90% mortality in pigs, so 9 out of 10 pigs that contract it can die. And the big concern at the moment is it has suddenly been introduced into China, probably from Russia, and it infects domestic pigs and it infects wild pigs. And the concern is that it's a strange virus. Now, we have, I think, 5 investigators from the College of Vet Med who are working on this disease. We're the only first non-federal facility that has ever been approved to work on this pathogen. It took our biosafety specialist and many other people about 3.5 years of inspections and paperwork to get that approval. But now that it's in China, which is the biggest pork consumer in the world, it's started to spread. It's got out of control. It's in 8 widely distributed regions at the moment. So one of the concerns of how that could be introduced is, believe it or not, in imported animal feed. So we had a study recently that showed that if you have animal feed that was, for example, contaminated in China, that virus can survive 30 days in a shipping container environment and still survive. And we import, you know, there's a lot of imports from China in terms of animal feed and dietary supplements, things like that. So that was Bob Rowland and Megan Nerdweider's studies. And then we've got a group at the BRI called the NABC, National Biosecurity Center. And Ken Burton and others did a study on what are the risks of African swine fever getting into the U.S. in legal and illegal imports. Things like ham sandwiches or sausages carried in somebody's luggage illegally, which people do.
It happens.
It happens. And it can happen innocently, people not thinking about it. When I came through the airport last week, you know, there are signs up bringing people's attention to that potential. And this virus can survive processing in meat It doesn't affect people. You know, one good thing about this disease, it doesn't affect people. But it has spread around the world and caused outbreaks by people discarding contaminated ham sandwiches and those being fed to pigs, which is a common practice in many countries, not in the U.S., thank goodness.
And there is so much more to talk about, but I think we're just about out of time. So, you know, on that cheery note there, I guess, thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you very much. I mean, the reassuring thing is the Port Board, the USDA, lots of people are paying attention to this and doing a great job.
Very good, and I understand. I hope your research continues to go well on that as well.
Guarantee it will. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming out. And thanks again to all our guests, Susan Shaw from Crop Hunger Walk Manhattan, Dan Springer and Amber Petty from Wildwood Adventure Park, and Donald Riffey, Honor Flight Liaison Officer, talking about the Heroes, Hot Rods, and Motorcycles Car and Bike Show. If you missed any of this episode, you can check it out on newsradiokman.com. Go down to the on-demand section and look for In Focus.
Thanks. All right, Nick. Thank you much. Good job this morning. A lot of folks to get through the doors and manage all that today. Clark Howard is up on the other side of CBS News, which will talk about the Kavanaugh hearings. A vote coming up. Rush, Dan Patrick, the game, and Manhattan High football tonight on K-Man. It's 10 a.m. Good morning.
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at ksstate.com.